The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's been a busy week. I hope you know we have an annual celebration after this service, which, of course, we hope you will join us in. And in between all of the preparation for that, I found some time to do a little bit of reading for this morning, and I was drawn to some blogs and articles by a man named Brian McLaren. You may have heard of him. He's fairly well known now, Christian author. He's presented in Lambeth even to the important bishops of the Anglican Church, and has written several books and speaks all over the world, literally. I happened to discover him when I went to hear him talk at our seminary about 6 or 7 years ago, I guess, and found him very interesting. And so I check in with him periodically via the internet and see what he is currently saying about the state of religion in the U.S. And frankly, it's not particularly promising. His work is aimed at trying to understand and articulate why it is that our under 40s are so adverse to church, or so adverse to organized religion. Or why so many young people claim to be spiritual but not religious. Why they, on one hand, will profess a belief in God and have a regard for Christian ideals, yet have no desire at all to come inside a church on Sunday. And the primary answer that I've heard over these years from McLaren is that there's just a prevalent feeling in that group that what we do in here is just not relative to where they are or to what they need. I translate that for myself sometimes as the church isn't authentic in their minds. In his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, which I read a few years ago and reviewed some this week, McLaren says that too often the church gets away from Jesus' message, that's part of the problem, if not the problem. Because instead we seem to be overly concerned with our liturgy or in debating theology or worrying about our finances as a church. And then doing all of that, we fail to hear and convey the basic message of Jesus Christ. McLaren says, what if we have now developed a religion that makes reverent and honoring statements about Jesus, but does not teach what Jesus taught in the same manner that he taught it? What if the religion generally associated with Jesus neither expects nor trains its congregations to actually live in the way of Jesus? What if too many of today's religious leaders, that would be me, are among the last to get the message of Jesus and the first to reduce, oppose, distort, or suppress it, just as they did in Jesus' day? McLaren says that as believing Christians, we need to observe what Jesus said and did without trying to make him less radical and easier to rationalize. Strive to see Jesus' message for what it is: revolutionary, political, controversial, surprising. And then work seriously to understand how that message can be applicable in our lives. All of which is a good lead-in for today's gospel lesson, because today's gospel reading is very much about Jesus' mission, his purpose in the world. His reason for being is front and center. As Luke sets the scene, this is very early in Jesus' ministry. All three of the synoptic gospels have Jesus returning to Nazareth, having going back to his hometown. But Mark and Matthew have it later in the way they do the chronology. Luke has it early, very early in his book, because he wants Jesus' statement of purpose, I think, to be right there at the beginning before he goes on with the rest of what Jesus does. And so here Jesus is. He's fresh from his 40 days in the wilderness. And now, as Luke says, he's full of the Holy Spirit from that experience. And fairly soon he gets to Nazareth from the desert and begins his ministry. And after arriving, he does as his custom, that is to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and to take the scroll from the tabernacle stand and read. And on this day, he reads from Isaiah, one of Israel's most beloved passages from one of Israel's most beloved prophets. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he reads, "because he has anointed me to bring the good news of the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he hands back the scroll, sits down, and simply says, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. In other words, I am the one. I am the one that has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill those same promises that God made to his people through the prophet Isaiah all those years ago. I am the one that Isaiah spoke of. I am the one. So right there in the beginning of his ministry and in his own hometown and in front of all those who know him best, he's declaring exactly what his mission and message on earth will be. He, Jesus of Nazareth, will be an agent of God in the world, and he will bring God's message of love to those who are oppressed, those who are poor, those who are blind, those who are poor in spirit, those who are imprisoned. And I assume Brian McLaren would say, if our mission at Calvary Church is not a reflection of that, is not a reflection of Jesus Christ's mission, then we're obviously missing the boat. If we're not about what Jesus was about, then we're simply not authentic. We are working on our mission statement. This is sort of an aside because we have this vestry retreat coming up in a couple of weeks. In our current draft, that some of you, those of you who did the vestry visioning verification thing might have seen it. It is, Calvary welcomes all to join us in the work of embodying Christ in our community. Calvary invites all to join us in the work of embodying Christ, being Christ in our community. It's a good place to start, I'm sure. I find it interesting that the first thing Jesus does in the synagogue is to put himself on the spot. And when we declare our mission statement, that's what we do. We put ourselves on the spot. We set ourselves up in order to be accountable. I am the one, Jesus says. I am the one. Obviously, he's not afraid of accountability, is he? He's not afraid of getting started either without waiting for a consensus. Because when does he say his mission begins? Today. Today this is fulfilled in your sight. Not tomorrow. No procrastinating. No organizing a committee meeting or waiting for when things are less busy or when finances are better. Today is the day that our mission is to begin. And therefore, those characteristics are an equally important part of our walk, making our intentions known in order to be accountable for how we do and getting on with it, not just talking about it. Back to Brian McLaren. As I said, I attended a presentation some years ago, and because I'm a notoriously poor note taker, I don't have any written record of what he said, and I don't have much memory of it either. But I remember this one quote. Carlos, you're going to like this one quote. I remember this one quote that he had about accountability and authenticity. And actually, he was quoting a friend of his. Evidently, his friend was very fond of saying, "You have got to smoke what you sell. You have got to smoke what you sell." Now, I don't have a frame of reference to understand the literal context of that. But I do understand that if we are all talk, that if we are no different from those who do not believe, then everything that we do in here just looks like hocus pocus to someone who comes in for the first time. Accountability means openly declaring our intentions before God and before others, and then being willing to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us live up to what we say. Another important thing, a very important thing to notice about Jesus' mission is that its intended targets. He's not targeting priests and scribes. He's not targeting those who are well off and could afford to provide financially for this new church that he's starting. No, he came to give hope to those who have little to hope for. He came and declared that his mission was for those who did not have much of anything. He came to free the captives, to release them from bondage. Some from bondage to sin, others from being captive by the cycle of poverty. Others still were bound by social oppression, slaves to their masters. And then there are the ones, the downtrodden, the poor in spirit, the powerless, that Jesus declares as the purpose, the recipients of his mission. And he said he comes to open the eyes of the blind, and sometimes I think that might be us. Blind to the bondage of others, blind to the oppression that continues to grow in this country as the gap between rich and poor grows all the wider. And most importantly, blind to the fact that church really is not all about us. Instead, it's about unrolling that scroll, reading and hearing the word, and then taking that message outside our walls by our words and our deeds to those who have not heard it. I think in our reading today, we hear the mission of the church loud and clear from the lips of Jesus. There's nothing to argue about, nothing that's difficult to interpret. Jesus challenges us to undertake his same mission. This morning at our annual celebration, we will highlight our outreach ministries here at Calvary, those things that we are doing to try to provide hope to the very people that Jesus came to serve. And we'll be talking about several new ways to serve our community because we really want to offer everyone an opportunity to participate. And so please go to that meeting and listen to all of the exciting things that we're doing and then pray. Pray about how you can be part of one or more of those opportunities to serve others. The Christian mission is clear. It's the mission of Jesus himself to defend those who are defenseless, to speak with those for those who have no voice, and to proclaim by word and deed the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of your message of hope and love and peace. Grant to us the courage to declare our faith without shame or fear, and the will to be your disciples in the world. Help us to live boldly in the Spirit without anxiety about the future, and to always look for new opportunities to do your work in the world. Amen.